Steve Heimel, a.k.a. the Old Bull Rider, has been riding the airwaves of APRN for more than 30 years. After all those decades of reporting, Steve is moving on to new adventures. I'm Laurie Townsend. You've listened to Steve for years, but what do you really know about him? How did he get started in broadcasting, and what does he think of the changes he's observed in news and media in his 50 years of broadcasting? What question have you always wanted to ask Steve? What do you want to tell him? Now's your chance, as Steve Heimel is our guest today on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. The Medallion Foundation and the Federal Aviation Administration set standards for the operation of aircraft and airports and provide services to the flying public. Passengers are influential in making flying safer in Alaska. When passengers know their rights and responsibilities, aviation is safer for everyone. Safety information online at faa.gov/go/flyalaska. This message is sponsored by the Medallion Foundation. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Hey, Steve, this is Shady down at KBBI in Homer, and I'll start off by saying I got to know you as a listener, and I thought you just had the craziest, wackiest, good morning, I'm Steve Heimel kind of voice. You were exactly what radio was supposed to sound like. And then when I got to know you, I never expected the voice of Frontier Radio in Alaska to look like Gandalf riding a bicycle. So this is for you. Yet in the wizard's face he saw at first only lines of care and sorrow, though as he looked more intently he perceived that under all there was a great joy, a fountain of mirth enough to set a kingdom laughing were it to gush forth. I think that you've shown all of us, definitely me, what joy can be in radio. I've seen what radio had been and what it can be, and for that I am eternally indebted to you. As a morning host, you definitely kept me on my toes a lot. You were really good at that. And my mother would like to say that she thinks you sound like a very nice man whenever you do your Christmas call-in specials on Talk of Alaska. So with that, it is the end of an era to see you leave the airwaves, but I know that you'll tackle the next step of your life with the same unquenchable excitement.
Wow, that's a nice way to start off. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. And Steve Heimel is in the other chair this morning. Good morning, Steve.
I'm here in the flesh.
Yes, you are.
And in spirit.
And before we move on to other tributes and calls and things like that, Governor Walker has been waiting patiently on the line. So
I've been trying to get him on the show ever since he got elected. Finally.
We're going to get him on right
Finally,
now.
I leave and he comes on.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. How are you, Lori?
I'm well. Thank you so much for joining us. And please, let Steve have it now.
Well, Steve, I'm so sorry we were not able to get on before your retirement. Welcome back from retirement. But thank you very much for all you have done. And if I had a question for you, I'd want to know how many miles do you think you have on your bike?
I do more than cross the continent every year. So I do about 10 miles a day.
Wow. Wow. I've always been so impressed with rain or shine, you know, snow or sunshine. You're out there. I appreciate that.
Governor, I got to tell you, you know, the day that you announced, one of the times that you ran and didn't succeed, I believe, and I got the assignment, and I didn't realize I had to ride all the way from the university out to Turnigan, where you live, and there were snow berms the whole way. It was one of the nastiest, gnarliest rides, and I got there late, and your eyebrows went up. You were nice enough to wait around afterwards and give me the interview, and you raised your eyebrows. When I knew you were impressed that I had ridden my bicycle that whole way with such tremendous...
I really was. I was very impressed you had done that, Steve. So one of many things I'm impressed by you, but that's for sure. So thank you for your many years since 84 for public radio. You've done a great job in that regard. So you're a legend.
Governor, I wish you all the best, and I hope I get to come on here and actually quiz you on a future Talk of Alaska someday.
I'll look forward to it.
Thank you so much for calling in, Governor Walker.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care. Okay. Beautiful. And
that was beautiful.
That was beautiful. Very, very nice of him. He's been hanging on the line for about 15 minutes, so it was really nice for him to take that much time to be on with us on Talk of Alaska today.
He's a busy man, you know.
He is a busy man.
And there's a lot going on.
For people who are just tuning in, if you're a little late to the program, Steve Heimel is in the other chair. I was wondering if we were going to have to arm wrestle for the host chair today, Steve, but
no way. You
were good about just letting me sit right down here.
Yeah. Well, let me correct you. All right. It's 54 years in broadcasting.
54.
Right.
Oh.
And so my first book is called My First 50 Years in Broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not leaving broadcasting in any way. I'm just
right.
just basically the getting up at 3 in the morning thing, which is what I was doing here. I just decided it was time to stop doing that.
Absolutely. I can completely understand that. Having been a dairy farmer years ago, I get the early morning thing. If you'd like to call in, if you have questions for Steve, comments for Steve, if you'd like to tell him one of your favorite stories about his Talk of Alaska coverage or his news reporting, give us a call, 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. If you're in the Anchorage area, you can call 550-8422, and you can email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Steve, it seems really interesting that here you and I are live on air together. And, you know, the first time that I was on APRN airwaves was live on air with you, and it sounded something like this.
Well, this is the last Alaska News Nightly that I will be hosting and producing. And it's been a privilege. It is the flagship program of APRN, and hosting and producing was the first temporary job I held here back in March of 1984. I took over from Milt Radford, who got it from Margo Melnikov. And a month later, I handed it over to Corey Flintoff, who put me to work reporting, something I continued to do for the next 5 years and something I am now returning to. I even get to concentrate on science and the environment, which is what interests me. I started this stint of producing and hosting the show 2.5 years ago, and it was supposed to be temporary. Not that I haven't loved doing it, and I hope that showed, but I can't tell you how many times I've watched stories going by on the show that I wanted to be reporting instead of just introducing. I wanted to be calling those sources, working those stories, and finding out what was really going on. And now I can. APRN has been reassigning quite a few personnel, and it should result in better radio for you. If it doesn't, you should let us know. But I think you'll be pleased with what you hear. Duncan Moon will now be the producer, a job for which he has all sorts of excellent qualifications and abilities. While the host of Alaska News Nightly is the presenter, they can't be any better than the things they are presenting. And those stories are the work of our staff and member stations. I've just been here to try to make them sound good. And now I'd like to introduce Lori Townsend, who from now on will have the job of making me sound good. Howdy.
Howdy. Thanks, Steve. There's a little blast from the past. I hope people aren't too confused if you just tuned in and thought, what in the world is going on? That was just a little archive tape from 2003 when Steve and I were, he was handing off Alaska News Nightly to me and brought me on live. And I can't tell you, Steve, how much grief I got from friends because I said howdy. They said, your first thing that you say on APRN is howdy?
It's better.
it's better than howdy. There's no mini pearl, you know.
That's right. I didn't have a price tag on my hat.
Uh-huh.
So if you'd like to call in and talk to Steve, you can join us at 1-800-478-8255. Steve Heimel is the guest on Talk of Alaska today, a different role for him. Locally, the number is 550-8422. And we'll go to the phone lines in just a second, but we're getting email tributes. I've had people writing to me for more than a week, so I want to read a couple of those. One is from Mary Beth Holloman, who said she wouldn't be able to call in because she had an appointment, but she said, Steve, thanks for all your years of great programs on Alaska Public Radio. You've brought us so many interesting stories, interviews, and conversations. Shows like yours help bring all Alaskans together, no matter how far apart we may live. Thanks for having me on the show a few times, too. Every time there was... It was an adventure. I wish you all good things on this next chapter of your career. And there are many more that we're going to be reading. But let's take a call, shall we? This is Mark Springer calling from Bethel. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Hey, Mark.
I'll tell you, for the last weekend, we've had a rough week out here in Western Alaska. You know, Paul John passed away, our beloved elder, and we just lost our Swanson store, and you have left APRN. So I don't know how to wake up in the morning now not hearing your voice. I've had the privilege of calling the show over the years and having some interesting conversations with some interesting people. I got to piss Tony Knowles off one time, and I got Don Young to say that the Patriot Act on your show was the worst piece of legislation he ever voted for. It was, I think you have brought out a lot of significant statements from a lot of significant people. One question for you after I hang up is, who do you wish that you could still interview that you haven't yet? Just a couple more quick comments for you. You know, I think we figured out why you have such a sonorous and powerful voice. When you were doing your DJ show, you were reading some of your autobiography, and you talked about how when you were a young lad entering the radio business, you had to use a ribbon microphone, and I think you just really learned how to project. And I think that everybody says, "Wow, he's got such a great voice." I think that's where it came from. But Steve, you know, it's been a lot of great years. I hope that APRN will, public media, whatever they call themselves now, will come to their senses and keep bringing you back. You're a treasure for Alaska. And I would just like to ask the old bull rider to dedicate Neil Young's "Long May You Run" to our uppa, Steve Heimel.
Aww. Yeah, Dolly Uncle Parton. Dolly Parton is high on that list there, Mark. Just so you know.
That's who you've always wanted to get on for an interview.
Well, no, I've been fishing for her for years now, because the people don't know this, but that children's reading program that she started, that basically puts books in the hands of kids because it was so important to her when she was a kid, it showed her the whole world. Alaska's program is far more successful than any other state's. And yet she hasn't come up here, which she's supposed to do. So I always was.
Yeah, no, she'd be a great interview. Oh,
yeah,
cow.
Yeah. So that would be a good get. I also really am sorry that I haven't ever had Jennifer Francis on, who's the meteorologist who's come up with a theory of why the jet stream is wandering around so much.
Mm-hmm.
That is finally starting to get a little bit of street cred. And, you know, I've had a lot of people on that were way ahead of their times, I'm proud to say.
Yes. Well, thank you, Mark, for those great thoughts. And I liked his comment about the ribbon mic, that he might be onto something there. If you're just joining us, Steve Heimel is the topic and the guest today on Talk of Alaska.
The problem with them, they will have a little bit of a ground buzz on them. But they actually were for people that know how to make them work, and especially for the lower frequencies. They have a warmth to them. There are musicians who still record with them.
Hmm.
Fred Eaglesmith has used them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big, huge thing. Everybody's seen this old cliche microphone,
as big
as your head.
I wish I had one of those.
Yeah.
I'm going to, before we take another call, I want to read a couple things. This is from Layla Carey at KRBD. Thanks for your years of service to public radio in Alaska. We've all benefited from your experience and talent. The airwaves won't be the same without you. Have a wonderful and well-deserved, she says, retirement, but I know you're not retiring.
Nope.
Layla Carey, Maria Dudzak, Ruth Eddy, Stuart White, and Deb Turnbull at KRBD in Ketchikan. So
yeah,
I'd
really like to say that I think with age comes wisdom. With age comes diminished but also increased capabilities. In traditional cultures, they know how to handle this with their elders and everything, but in the Western culture that's all matched up with machinery and so forth, we've lost track of the proper role for elders. And I'm going to try and find the role for elders appropriate to modern times for myself, which consists of taking care of your body and keeping the wisdom coming out and finding ways to make it stick. Because I think the elders have the wisdom. The wisdom often is contained in the language, but it's also contained in choosing the moment in which to deliver the message. The elder knows when a person will be receptive to that knowledge. And that's an important thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on that part of it too.
Absolutely, that's an important thing because people can absorb something until they're ready. So they've got to be, the student has to be ready for the teacher.
Yeah.
Let's take another call. We're going to hear now from Keith in Anchorage. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Howdy, Steve.
Hello, Keith.
I want to say thank you again for all your years. I have an Allman Brothers CD that I'm going to drop off at NBA in the next couple of days.
All right.
One thing I have never heard in all, I want to know how Steve Heimel wound up in Alaska. And, yeah, so how did you wind up in Alaska?
I'm more than happy to tell that story. I'll make it really short. My wife, Johanna York, and I were both very activist in the community radio movement. That's basically an alternative to National Public Radio. It believes that the radio should come from the ground up instead of from the top down. And we dedicated ourselves to trying to find innovative governance structures and innovate. We spread our skills transfers at radio stations all across the country, trying to help them have news departments, help them have meaningful programming schedules that people would actually listen to, and on and on and on. We're very proud of all that stuff that we did. But how do you make a living when you do that? Because none of these stations have much money. So we were producers. We produced radio, and we sold stories to National Public Radio, other markets as well, but mostly National Public Radio. In 1982, National Public Radio went broke, and all of a sudden they weren't buying our stories. And so the only place there was money left in public broadcasting was Alaska. So we came up here for the money in 1982.
Nice. Well, Keith kind of stole my thunder because I wanted to get back to some of that, some of your history before we moved on. There's so many callers on the line, but I do want to ask you to back up a little bit from that, Steve, way back to your grandfather, Golly Fish, because I think that there's a lot for people to understand here about how long your tenure and your association, your family association with news and publishing have gone. So your granddad, Golly Fish, had a local county paper in Pennsylvania. Tell us about that. And your mom worked there as well.
You bet she did. And so did I. And so did the rest of us. And that smell of printer's ink, you know, that's in my blood now. and also nicotine, the chewing tobacco and the cigarettes. My grandfather smoked very copiously for all his life. Lived into his 90s, by the way. But yeah. Known in Pennsylvania, an area that was late to settle, early 19th century, basically, and it was one boom after another. They found oil at Titusville, which they used for lamps. There were big tall trees that could be the masts for ships when it got them, and there were booms over and over again, timber booms, gas boom, everything but a coal boom, and. So that area was exploited over and over again, which is a really great environment in which to be a newspaper man. So that's what my grandfather did. He started around the turn 19th into the 20th century. Here's a man whose father fought in the Revolutionary and the Civil War. Let's not make it more outrageous than it really is. It's outrageous enough. And who, you know, there were no automobiles when he was a child. There were all these itinerant salesmen and hustlers and so forth that would come through your towns, you know, routinely. It was such a different world in the living memory of my grandfather. And yes, so he went at the turn of the century, and in the next 8-10 years, he must have had 15 jobs or so. And this is documented in a scrapbook before he finally started his own newspaper, and then he stayed at that newspaper for all those many years. And I didn't really think of that as a viable profession for me. I wanted to be an artist. But the problem is I could never make any money at art. And whenever I would come back to my hometown, there's hardly any jobs. And I had cousins and so forth that worked at the newspaper. I had cousins and so forth that worked at the other side of my family's butcher shop. So I learned butchering and all that. And I learned printing and all that. but there wasn't much employment there. So mm-hmm. they finally got me a job out there cutting brush from the Forest Service roads in the forests, which had, after being totally clear cut at the turn of the century, had repopulated themselves with very valuable hardwoods, and now they all belong to the state because all the companies that logged them didn't want the land anymore, and Gifford Pinchot was the governor at the time, so it all became public land. So I lived in the middle of this incredible, amazing climax hardwood forest, and boy, did I love living there.
Boy, I bet.
and so, you know, that job petered out. Job petered out in the fall. The season was over, and the state ran out of money for cutting the brush off of the sides of the forest roads, and the only job left in town was one at the radio station, so I took it, and it turned out I had talent for it.
And when you were a little boy, you started your own paper for a while about space exploration.
Oh, that's so you'd done your research. That's true. That was the first time that I realized I had any kind of talent was in the fifth grade, when they, reading aloud for the kids, you know, and the teacher has different people reading aloud, and he's a rookie teacher, and he didn't realize you're not supposed to unduly recognize any student. And so I got up there and knocked it out of the park. I mean, you know, I can read expressively, you know.
Yes.
This.
Yes, you
and
can.
And I could back then in fifth grade, and I just knocked it out of the park, and he raved and carried on about it. He didn't know he's supposed to do that, you know, not supposed to do that. And I was never the same.
Beginnings of an ego.
That's right. That's exactly right. And when I got in about sixth grade, I got all interested in science fiction and reading and stuff like that, and because I had an art talent as well as a writing talent, I started a little club called the Space Patrol, which you had to write and illustrate.
Patrol.
And illustrate a science fiction story in order to be a member. And Lord have mercy, it became a fad. I started a fad.
Patrol fad.
That's right. And it got so bad that some other kids started a rival Space Patrol, but we had much better quality product than they did.
Did it end in space wars or no?
No, we just, you know how things are. These enthusiasms peter out when the next one comes along and it's baseball or something, you know.
All right. Well, I love these stories, Steve. It's so great to have you on and have some laughs on Talk of Alaska. Steve Heimel is my guest today. The number here is 1-800-478-8255, and we're going to go back to the phones now. Matthew in Sitka, good morning.
Howdy. Couldn't resist.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Steve. I'm really, really sorry to hear that you won't be doing Talk of Alaska. Talk of Alaska, since you've been there, has been a great venue for us around the state. It's the village, you know. It makes the village possible here in Alaska, and I just really want to express my my thanks for all your years. Even when I resist the urge to call in, because I call in plenty, as you know, I listen when I'm home and when I'm around the radio. And thank you very much for all those years. And I was encouraged to hear that you came here, as Robert Server said. You came to get rich, damn good reason.
Matt, you know, I want to say to you and also to Mark Springer, I appreciate the restraint that you've used as a participant in the show, and both of you are excellent sources of information that have been extremely valuable to me in my years in the business here and in Alaska issues. And also, I don't think you can write an end. Really, I mean, you could see some new beginnings. I mean, you know, if there's a desire for more talk shows, maybe we can make more talk shows happen. You know, there's the web. There's all sorts of things coming. Broadband, you know, if they get that cable across the Arctic Ocean, broadband is going to hit the coast. That's going to change things, and things are going to continue changing. So people keep saying next chapter of your life, but I don't really look at that. I look at it that way. I more look at it as more expansion and finding more opportunities, possibilities.
A continuation.
Yeah.
Well, carry on, Steve. And you know, in this climate, the financial climate to the state revenue, where I'm concerned about public radio, and long may she broadcast. And it's important to me, and it's important to all the listeners that listen to you and the other fine programs on Alaska Public Radio and on our local public radio stations. Thank you very much for your time, Steve, and thank you for the chance to airing issues that were important to me and to other Alaskans, and I'm going to get off and let other people say things. Thank you very much.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot. And I think public broadcasting is under threat, and I think it'll survive in some form or other. It would be really nice if the Public Broadcasting Commission were strengthened again. Essentially, it annihilated, wiped itself out, and there's a board, but there's no real leadership at the Public Broadcasting Commission. And what we really need now is to be setting priorities, so that this is a serious resource for Bush, Alaska,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think we want to throw that out in some kind of political fit or other. We're losing a basic utility, and it's kind of like cutting your education system. You better be careful and be sure you're cutting fat.
Steve Heimel is our guest today on Talk of Alaska, and I thought it was interesting that Matthew said that coming to Alaska to get rich is great, but except for you shouldn't have come to Alaska to get rich in public broadcasting, because as we know, that doesn't happen.
Well, I went into commercial radio.
But at least you got rich in associations with great people.
I thought I was going to be a country DJ, but they wouldn't hire me. So I ended up in a news department in some station that sounded like all the other stations, but we knocked it out of the park. I mean, they only kept their news department for a year, but hell, we were incredible. We were following the police around, you know, and all that kind of thing. We're the great blotter news. I'll always be proud of that.
Well, we're going to hear a lot more of those kind of stories and others, but first we're going to get Mike from Kodiak on for a minute before we have to take a break. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi. I just want to thank Steve so much. It's just been a fantastic asset and institution for the state, and I feel bad about getting on. The stories are so interesting about Pinchot and Edwin Drake and bicycling. I just love all that stuff. And there's this thing I see in the media where everybody, myself included, we're all reading stuff that we agree with, so there's all this arguing going on. People are just quoting their sources, and I just think that Talk of Alaska, the way Steve ran it, was a breath of fresh air. It kept people on task and was on subjects that weren't really polarized, that, you know, people could really discuss. And I just think it's just a fantastic show, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. I really take that to heart, because that's the kind of thing I'm really proud of, is being able to do that. I'm also proud anytime that I can accomplish something that actually leaves a result. So one thing I'm hearing in these, once the word got out, is a number of people that have thanked me for what I taught them. I can't tell you how much that means to me, because you just don't know the effect that you have when you're teaching. You just don't know, but that is the folk life of it. That is the legacy. That is what lives on. The rest of it is just sits in memory somewhere. But, you know, if it goes on and it lives and it evolves, you make a contribution to the world, and the contribution keeps making more contributions, then something's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so anytime I was successful in making a show that didn't have people beating one another down with talking points, and instead, everybody learned a little something, and you were in a different place in your head at the end than you were at the beginning. That's what I was aiming for. And for somebody to say, hey, you did it. Well, I love that.
No talking points, no hand-wringing.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, and I mean, I could get pretty testy with people that call up and just want to throw the talking points that don't have much truth in them. I could get a little overly testy with people like that. It's in my performance reviews, Lori. Just look at the file.
It's in your permanent record.
That's
Steve,
right. It's on the record. By the way, I'm proud of all my negative reviews. I will say that right now. And anytime I ever got fired from a job, I'm really proud that they fired me. And I always felt that I was the one that was right. And you know what? Pretty much That's the way it was.
You know, I have to say that I have to agree with you because I've been fired a couple times myself, and yeah. I feel like if you don't get fired at least once in this business, you're probably not pushing hard enough. So we are going to take a short break, and then we'll take more calls and your comments and more reflection from Steve Heimel as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
Condor Airlines, with nonstop service from Ted Stevens International Airport to Germany and beyond. More information available on Condor.com. Condor, born to fly. The Older Persons Action Group is the publisher of the monthly Senior Voice newspaper and the 2015 Directory for Older Alaskans. To order the directory or learn more, go to SeniorVoiceAlaska.com. This message sponsored by OPAG.
Support for APRN Iditarod coverage comes from Wells Fargo, proud supporter of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race and dedicated to helping people reach their goals on and off the trail. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far.
Hwaka Steve, huinga atka rinachtilararuk, kasadun lu Charles Enoch, huinga mani kewa yu kemi yu pichtun kanum tis tingunga, chali una chit ksaitam gin dagamni chukni lagam gin ekonomi.
Hi Steve, it's Daisha Eaton out here at KYUK in Bethel, Alaska. Charles Enoch sent you a message in Yupik, and I'm here to provide the translation into English. Alaska Natives believe elders are tasked with passing on their wisdom to the younger generation. Charles says he never really followed radio news until he came into his job at KYUK. But what he's heard time and time again from his coworkers is all about your vast knowledge and your willingness to help. What you've passed on has been pivotal to the development of the younger journalists you've worked with, including me. As reporters in the Alaska Public Radio Network, we regularly work with each other over vast geographical areas. Even though we don't work right next to each other, when one of us leaves, they're greatly missed. Thank you for bringing important news to Alaskans across our state over the years. There's no real word for goodbye in Yupik. Instead, we say, keep doing what you're doing, or Bura, Bura, Steve.
Fantastic. So I have to tell you that we remix that, and I hope that the folks out at KYUK and the elders out there aren't upset with us for doing that, but it would have been too long to let it just run all in Yupik, although I know that the reason that Charles did that was because he was honoring you by speaking in his language.
Absolutely. And I got to bring up one of my colleagues out there, Alexei Isaac, the late Alexei Isaac, and his important contribution out there. I think time will show that the YK Delta has an extremely important role to play in the future of Alaska. I think that our intercultural realities in this state are going to be very important in the future. This is the key to how we get through it. There are many things that Alaska could be a leader in that it doesn't realize that it could. And one of them is this ethnosphere aspect, where you combine the information of the ethnosphere with the technosphere, which is all the means that we have these days to communicate, to get to a noosphere or a world knowledge. And the whole world's going to need to do this. We're going to need to bridge these cultures and the knowledge that they contain that isn't just in the encyclopedia level of things, but in the folk area of things and how you actually relate to the land. These are terribly important. And when other things start breaking down, these things get more important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. And we're going to go back to the phones. We've got a lot of reading to do. Steve's got a reading he needs to do for us.
I don't need to.
Yes, you do need to. You are going to do it. That's all my right. only chance I get to order you around for a minute.
You're the boss. You're the host.
Okay, so let's go to Merrick in Fairbanks. Good morning.
Good morning, Lori, and good morning to you, Steve. And I want to second what everybody else is saying today. Thanks for your many, many years of service, Steve. We're absolutely going to miss you. And, you know, I agree with your concerns about the threat that public radio is under in Alaska. I'll tell a quick story, and that is last year we almost lost Alaska News Nightly in Fairbanks, and that we could lose such an important program in the second largest city in the state just seems to me unconscionable. But, Steve, today it's about you, and I just have two questions, if you could take them. What's next in your life, in your journey, and you know, what news story or what one guest sort of stands out in your mind after 54 years? I'd be really curious to hear that.
Thanks, Merrick.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to expand my knowledge. I'm going to try and finish my book. I'm doing a bunch of personal appearances. I have a great interest in oral history and non-broadcast formats that I'm going to pursue, some of it in partnership with Alaska Public Media. And, you know, so those are some of the things. I have a grandson. I have four grandchildren now, and one grandson I haven't seen yet that I got to hold my hands while he's small.
Yes.
and my mom is 90 years old, and I want to spend some time with her. And I also want to finish walking the Appalachian Trail. I have 300 miles left to go, so that's going to be more than a month of walking over mountains in Maine. And, you know, I'm 72 years old, and I wanted to finish it by the time I was 65. I still haven't. So I want to do that. So those are some of the things. And then as for favorite guests, wow. You know, I want to tell you, whenever I forget so much, but when I go back and look through the archive of Talk of Alaska, I get more and more proud of the groundbreaking people that we have on. So I'm gonna pick one that Mary Sattler even forgot that she was on the show when I had AFN's picks for young leaders on, and she was one of them on that show. I think that three young potential Native leaders and who they have become today is that was one of my favorite guests.
That's fantastic.
And the last one where I got Schwagel, the author of The Anthropocene, on, I think that was an extremely important idea to begin circulating, and so I'm very proud of that one too.
Well, thank you, Merrick, for calling in. And Steve, when you said that you'd forgotten, I find that so hard to believe, because we're always, as you well know, in the newsroom, we're always have turned to you and asked for, Steve, what was the backstory on this, or what's the historical context here? And you always provided that for us. So it's hard for me to believe that you've ever forgotten anything, because it does not seem that way sitting on this side of things. We're going to go to Barrow now and take a call from our friend Doreen. Good morning, Doreen. Doreen?
Oh, we lost her.
Oh, she got too excited.
I know she was going to speak in Inupiaq too.
I'm sure she'll call. She'll probably call back. So, all right, let's go to Val in Anchorage. Or wait a minute, no, who are you going to? There you go.
All right,
Val in Anchorage. Good morning, Val.
Good morning. I want to thank Steve for his years of service. He's been incredibly authoritative, and his voice is so welcome on APRN. Steve, you're going to be greatly missed. Is there a chance that you might still consider working part-time for APRN in the future?
Well, I'm very interested in hosting future programs, whether it's this particular venue or any other one, but we just haven't done any negotiation at this point. And it's been an employment relationship, and it would have to be a different kind of relationship, a contractual relationship. And, you know, so we'll just see what happens institutionally. I don't think Lori could say. I don't think I could really say at this point. But I think new ventures probably interest all of us.
Absolutely.
We're out here cheering for you. We really want to hear you on and have you be part of this.
Well, thank you, Val, for calling in. And I want to read something now, too, Steve. For those of you who may have just tuned in, you're late. But Steve Heimel's our guest this morning on Talk of Alaska. We're going down memory lane. You can call in and join us, 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. Or if you're calling in Anchorage locally, the call is 550-8422. Elizabeth Cook wrote in to say, "Thank you, Steve. Thanks for keeping us engaged and informed for all these years. I will miss your knowledge, memory, and insight about and of Alaska. May all of your futures be good ones." Elizabeth Cook in Fairbanks. So more than one future. You get multiple plural futures. That's fantastic.
I want to throw in right now that I am also working on a second book, and it's Tales to My Grandchildren, and it's trying to do more of an elder type of thing, and I think they're going to be compact enough that they'll go on the internet a little better than you put parts of a book on.
Yes.
And so I'm really happy with some of those. So maybe we can put some of that on the website, you know, about how to see a dragon and had the first time getting on stage, things like that, you know, a little pivotal.
Yes.
Things.
I love that idea. Yeah. And we have Doreen in Barrow back on the line. Doreen, don't hang up this time. Go ahead and say something. Don't be shy. Doreen.
Hi, this is Doreen.
Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Steve. Oh, I missed your party. I was in Anchorage. But
shame on you.
I was escorting somebody. I was at the hospital with someone,
with
a friend of mine. So I had a perfectly good excuse, but I'm going to miss you. I remember seeing you for the first time when I was working for KDRW here, and we all went to Anchorage, us reporters, and in walked this guy with Stetson and long, flowing white hair and a mustache and a goatee, and that Stetson on top of his head, and he walks in and sits down in the front, and I went, that guy must be an interesting fella. And maybe you don't remember that, Steve.
I remember that.
But when Lori told me you were going to be retiring, I really wanted to be there, but I couldn't. And I'm glad I'm able to call in.
Hey, Doreen, we're going to have some kind of party in the summer. Doreen, we're going to have some kind of party. Yeah, in the summer, maybe you can make it to that. And also, I got to share something with you. You will remember this, I'm sure, because the first time I came up to Barrow, you especially were talking about it. You were talking about sod houses quite a bit, and how you really wanted a sod house. You said, and you said that you loved to remember how it smelled in the sod house, and that has always stuck with me.
Mm. Well, thanks for calling, Doreen. It's great to hear your voice, and I hope you consider going back and helping KBRW with some local reporting. We'd love to have that happen. All right.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Thanks for calling in. I want to read a couple things quickly here, and then we've got more calls on the line. And Steve, I want you to read as well. This is from Corey Flintoff. He of first APRN and then now NPR. He's at the Moscow Bureau and for NPR. Here's to Steve Heimel. He taught me pretty much everything I know about reporting. This is actually true. And the parts that I didn't remember or failed to understand are not his fault. A lot of people who've worked with him over the years could say the same. All the very best, Steve, from Corey.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that's from Corey Flintoff, and this is from Joel Southern. And of course, true to Joel Southern's nature, it's way too long. He needed an edit. So I'm going to give him one on the fly. If ever there was a graybeard, you are the epitome of that concept up there with Gandalf and Dumbledore. You are the last of the graybeards from my 20 or so years of reporting on Alaska, first via the Burns Bureau and then as APRN's DC correspondent. You were instrumental in hiring me as the DC correspondent, and I'm grateful for that. because the 16 plus years I spent doing that job were among the best in my life. I got to do and see and experience so many things in the Capitol, in the White House, in the federal government, and in places such as New York. You are not necessarily always the easiest guy to work with. But all in all, for me, you were a great and challenging and collaborative colleague, and I would not have had it any other way. As I told you on a few occasions, there is no one I would rather do edge of the seat, seat of the pants radio than with you. You always seemed ready and raring to do something innovative, edgy, and even risky. Things that can get you into trouble at times, but also things that can make for great radio. So he goes on, and I will give you a copy of the rest of it so that you can read it, but that's from Joel Southern, our former D.C. correspondent, Steve.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, it's great to hear from our, you know, people that have worked here in the past.
Absolutely. Cool. So how about, instead of me reading, you reading a little bit here?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to do this. This is basically my first 50 years in broadcasting, and it's all the way down to the this is from chapter one, and at this point I'm in art school, and I haven't gotten my radio job. That comes in 1961, so this is 1960, and I start out talking about Walt McCandless, the father of Chris McCandless, who died in the bus on the Stampede Road, and how I had, that's his, Walt McCandless is the first person I ever heard use the expression ground truth. And his mission, CSAT, which established active remote sensing in orbit, was the first proof that we could do that, but it was thought a failure because it didn't stay in the sky very long. The science press eventually recognized the merits of active remote sensing, but I don't think Walt ever got the credit for it that he deserved. Perhaps that contributed to how he treated Chris and how Chris decided to run his body out to the limits of the known surface world, first to the end of the Colorado River and his near death, then to the end of the Stampede Road and his life. I was not such an extreme pilgrim. For me, walking just seems the most obvious and cheapest way to get to know a place. I resorted to it the first time I left my little town. As a talented high school junior art student, I got a scholarship to go down the Allegheny River to Pittsburgh and attend college-level classes at the Carnegie Institute of Technology. It was a pretty good art school. 10 years earlier, it had turned out Andy Warhol, though I would not have known that at the time. I got dropped off at the dormitory, and I was soon out walking around the campus. I discovered that the architect, Louis Sullivan, had laid the campus out like a giant ship. There was even a stone prow, if you know where to find it. That's really nothing compared to his Cathedral of Learning, built for the University of Pittsburgh in the same neighborhood. But for me, the highlight of my walks was to pass the gate to the bleachers at Forbes Field. It cost just $1 to get in. But after the third inning or so, they didn't even tend the gate. Major League Baseball I could walk to. I could sit and watch the 1959 Pittsburgh Pirates for free. After the art school weeks, I spent some time staying with my mother's sister, Aunt Patricia. Her husband, Uncle John, taught English and German at a private school across the Allegheny from Pittsburgh, Shadyside Academy. Of course, within days, I'd been all over the campus. I knew its little rec rooms, dorms, power plant, shop. I knew the shortcuts and secluded private spots where I could go be by myself with a cigarette in the bushes. When I next arrived in art school, it was downriver from Pittsburgh in Cincinnati. I quickly took off down the road from the Art Academy to downtown and the Ohio River. I was astounded to discover that it was physically impossible for me to get to the water. Ultimately, I found myself up against a cyclone fence with a freeway between me and the river that flowed from the one I was born on. I could not walk to the river. I was offended with an anger so acute that I can still feel it more than 50 years later. As far as the eye could see, in either direction, there was no way to walk to that river. I started to look for a way around that fence immediately, but I never found it. Something about the depth of that moment put an inclination into me to get around such barriers. I could put a lot of will and work into such an enterprise. Even as an old man, I will look for ways to climb walls, inch along cornices, take all sorts of foolish risks, as if I'm convinced there's some sort of treasure on the other side of a barrier.
I really love the idea of continuing to take risks and looking around those edges. I have to ingrain that in my own mind and heart so that I remember that also. Steve, thanks for those words. I really appreciate them, and I can't wait to read the whole book. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Don't you have to take a break?
We do have to take a break. And we will be back and hopefully fit in a couple more calls and more comments as Talk of Alaska continues with Steve Heimel, statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. If you're ready to quit tobacco, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help with free confidential coaching and support services through the telephone and online. Now introducing Text to Quit, a way to help you use medications correctly, manage urges, and prevent relapse all from your mobile phone. Call 1-800-QUIT now or visit alaskaquitline.com for more information. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Prevention and Control Program.
Hey Steve, this is Dan Bross, one of the few other old timers in the system. I remember imitating you before I ever worked in radio, and then when I did, taking cues from your precise delivery and well-edited copy. As somebody who's now spent most of the last 2+ decades getting up at 4 a.m. to do public radio news, I'm truly amazed at your tenure and knowledge of Alaska, rolling out of bed with the first lines of the morning's top stories in your head, then slinging it all together into a diverse but cohesive newscast is a chaotic art, and you set the bar high. Thanks for keeping us informed with a sincere voice that transmitted assurance even when the news was bad. Happy retirement, Stephen.
And as we know that Steve isn't really retiring, he's just going to do a whole bunch of other stuff, and he'll be around here once in a while too. Steve, I'm going to read something really quick and then we'll go to the phones again. This is from Alex Hills, the founding GM of KSKA. He says, Steve, I'm sorry I'll be tied up and unable to listen to you and Lori this morning, but I hope to listen to the rebroadcast. The other public radio GMs and I didn't know when we founded APRN back in 1978 that you'd come along a few years later and help to turn the network into such a positive force. Your morning newscasts and Talk of Alaska would soon become a regular feature of Alaska Radio. Talk of Alaska is loved by many, especially across rural Alaska. It's hard to imagine either of these two broadcasts without Steve Heimel at the helm. Thanks for your service to Alaska. We'll miss you, Alex, the founding general manager of KSKA. So you know what a great guy Alex is and how nice it is to have praise come from him. And we are going to go to Cordova and talk to Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I'm on my third cup of cold coffee. I kind of got up a little late this morning, but I just wanted to say in the immortal words of Dan Hicks, how can I miss you if you won't go away?
Keep trying.
Even, you know how much I admire you. I'm happy for you. I'm happy, sad for the rest of us on a statewide basis, but it's been great hearing a lot of my fellow callers in over the years checking in this morning too, and glad I didn't sleep through the program. And you're going to bring us a real Alaskan reality show, and a significant number of them. I'm quite certain we can sort of address that particular perversion of a topic the way it's been handled.
All
and
right.
Our reputation suffering from it. But yeah, you're the guy, and you've educated so many, including your contemporaries and your audience, and just really looking forward to hearing you keeping it rolling down the road.
Thanks. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for calling in. I hate to rush off, but we want to get a few more people in, and thanks for that call from Cordova. We're going to go to Arizona now. Mark Moran. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Babaloo, Heimel.
Babaloo!
What are you doing, man? I need you. I need to be able to listen to you down here, but that's okay. You know, Peter was my editor. Corey was my editor. You were my first mentor, and I still tell stories, at least the ones that we can repeat on in public, about you. And you taught me one time in a news conference. I was a young, eager, green reporter, and you walked in, and it was some rear admiral of the Navy or something after the spill, and my mic placement was really bad, and you walked over in front of this group of people, and you took my mic, and you shoved it down in the thickets of all the national news media mics that were there, and you shoved it right in front of that guy's mouth, and you turned around and walked over to me and said, your mic placement was for crap. Your first job is to make sure you get sound for your listeners. And I never forgot that, and it served me really well, so... You're a great mentor. You're going to be missed up there. You'll be missed out here in the Arizona desert, too, Steve.
Hey, great, great anecdote, man. Babaloo.
Babaloo.
So we had a comment from somebody who wrote in and said, only Steve, Rancho Spinardo, discuss.
there was a magazine, basically. It was a zine that was put out called the AK Verve, and there was a fantasy with regards to the house where I live and other people have lived, and it was an extravagant revolutionary fantasy, and it was called Rancho Spinardo, and it stuck ever since, and now we got one down in Alabama as well.
All right. Yep. So we're going to take another call here quickly. Ed Ratliff is on the line from Anchorage. Good morning, Ed.
Well, good morning, and good morning, Steve. I just wanted to call and say I've been ill with a bad cold, and I didn't want to take the chance of coming on your party, and so I was sorry I missed it, but hey, it was great waking up with you and being with you early in the morning when I filled in for Beatty, and I just want to know who's going to bring you your newspaper in the morning.
Yeah, right. I have it's being delivered by Samoans right now. They get it here really before I'm going to be getting up, Ed.
Oh, okay.
Well, down at the Rancho.
The one story I have about Steve that I thought was interesting, being
it's gonna
a volunteer.
Have to be quick, Ed.
Okay. The morning that Sarah Palin was chosen as vice president, I never saw Steve so excited. He kept running, and I heard him running down the hall saying, I love it, because all the radio stations from New York were calling him for a story.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ed, for calling in. And Steve,
we were turning him away. I remember that.
Before we go out to a song that's chosen specifically for you, I want to say thank you so much for all that you've taught me and continue to teach me, and I know you will continue to teach me, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So glad you had. It was a risk, but you took it. You're learning.
Thank you. I hope to continue learning. And this is for Steve as we go out from Talk of Alaska.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network. If you're ready to quit tobacco, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help with free confidential coaching and support services through the telephone and online. Now introducing Text to Quit, a way to help you use medications correctly, manage urges, and prevent relapse all from your mobile phone. Call 1-800-QUIT now or visit alaskaquitline.com for more information. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Prevention and Control Program. Alaska Pacific University offers a distinctive, personalized education grounded in hands-on, real-world experience that prepares graduates to be contributing members and leaders in their communities. This message sponsored by APU.
The School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast is open for business and welcomes students from across Alaska. Online degree programs and courses reach students in the communities where they live and work. Explore your options online at uas.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by University of Alaska Southeast.
This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.
Thank you very much.